Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications at GNO Inc. And Matt, we have a special guest.
Oh, we've got a rock star on the line right now. We've got Commander Otero. He's the officer in charge at Nywick Atlantic in New Orleans, and he has the goods.
Absolutely, Commander Andre Otero, the Naval Information Warfare Center. There's an acronym for everything in the military, Commander, and so I just wanted to explain that to folks in the listening audience. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. Am I transmitting clear?
Say again. I'm sorry. I lost you.
I was actually just asking if I was transmitting clearly. Good morning.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, Commander, recently there are four naval commands across the Gulf that have come together and teaming up these Navy commands with local businesses, startups, and universities. If you would, describe the four naval commands as well as in the aftermath of this teaming up, what this means for this region.
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. So we have our command, Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic. We have our outpost station here in New Orleans is on the campus of LSU New Orleans, formerly UNO. And then we've teamed up with Navy Meteorology and Oceanography Command and the Naval Research Laboratory, two different commands in Stennis, Mississippi, as well as the Naval Surface Warfare Center in Panama City. So kind of anchoring around the major universities that kind of gives us Baton Rouge to Tallahassee as an area of responsibility for kind of scouting all of this new technology that we're going to be looking for. And so it's a historic partnership. I would classify it that way. The other commands have been in a similar agreement for a while, adding Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic in New Orleans kind of anchors us into the New Orleans geography. And this, I would bucket it as an agreement that marks the next evolution of this effort, creating a unified front to accelerate technology and innovation for our sailors and Marines benefit.
So the goal is positioning New Orleans, the greater New Orleans area, as a defense tech hub by this collaborative effort, right?
Yeah, so the effort itself, I think, doesn't really change anything about the historical significance the Gulf Coast has played in our maritime industry and the effects that the Gulf has had on the Navy at large. And so what I think it really does is kind of give us a brand name and a front door to have conversations about what is next and what could be out there. And so I think if you think of it as a conduit or a bridge or a tunnel, right, on one side you have the Navy with specific complex technology needs that our sailors and Marines are desperate to have. On the other hand, you have the Gulf Coast geography at large, the geography I just talked about. Right? You got brilliant minds and local businesses, startups, universities across that area who are creating incredible solutions to those problems, and we might not know about them yet. And so this is definitely connecting those two ends of the spectrum and helps communicate our needs to industry just as important. It helps us find and adopt commercial innovation faster. So the net result of all of this is shortening the timeline it takes from having a good idea out there in the ecosystem and getting it in the hands of the sailors and Marines that need it.
With everything, the technology moving so fast, the development of technology moving so fast, as you pointed out, this kind of streamlines. I mean, if you would, how important is that to y'all? I mean, obviously, you're in the competition business in one perspective against not only our allies, but our enemies that are out there trying to produce as much technology as quickly as possible to be utilized, right?
Yeah, so time is always of the essence. And so the sooner that we can circle the wagons around solutions, you know, even when you talk about something that might be an 80% or 90% solution to a particular problem, right? If we can kind of focus what's available, what's the art of the possible, and establish what that delta is and overcome that little part, right? That just accelerates getting the capability fielded and faster. And so, you know, kind of like you mentioned, this is always a game of timelines. And, you know, he who acts first would usually have the advantage.
So can you give us an example of, you know, what some future projects may be and what that means?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that we're kind of focusing on, and please don't bucket this as the only thing that the Gulf Coast Defense Catalyst is going to be looking at, right? But the first thing that we have our eyes on is what I would call a recent concentration of unmanned vehicle companies showing up in the lower Louisiana area. And so I'll make this a little bit of a pitch. From the ones that I'm tracking right now, Metal Shark, Saronic, Blue Water, Burdon, Pond, Jacobs, and Textron, as well as Bollinger Shipyard. And if you're a company that's in that space, and I didn't mention you, I would urge you to get a hold of Geno Incorporated as soon as possible and get yourself inserted into that ecosystem alongside with us. And so having all these companies in the area and an abundance of natural waterways, right? It lends itself toward us investigating what it looks like to have a low barrier of entry, autonomous vehicle playground, a testing bed, right? And so, whether that involves, you know, direct or indirect participation from the government is one thing. Right, but I know that Louisiana State University system is interested in driving in that direction, a low barrier of entry for academics and industry to go out there and test the art of the possible. And so anything, I would be a proponent of anything that would help any of those companies and any of their competition, frankly, anything in that industry move better, faster, stronger, or cheaper. All of those adjectives would be direct benefit to the Navy, from my humble.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Point of view.
When we think about, as you said, the art of the possible and the formation of these new partnerships, how would you describe the delta between that and how we used to typically do this? Or maybe we're still doing it that some of those ways.
Yeah, so I mean, if your question is about, and please course correct me if I'm wrong, I think you're asking about kind of government contracting mechanisms.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it's an exciting time to be in the government acquisition system, which I am, right? So from on high and from the nation's capital directly, right, we're kind of given direction to use non-traditional contracting mechanisms as frequently as possible. And so things like commercial solutions offerings and other transaction authorities or agreements, rather, right, CSOs and OTAs, they allow us to go faster. And so when we see a capability that is of imminent need, something we want to go procure, we can do that in an order of magnitude faster, right? And I'm not going to say that that's lightning fast, but something that could have taken, you know, 3-4 years before can now be, you know, fielded in somewhere between 90 and 120 days if we have our wits about us correctly.
That, you gotta love that. I mean, that's a big delta, reduction of time. So GNO Inc.'s going to be playing as a partnership intermediary. What does that actually mean for you guys, and how important is that for this, towards the success of this project?
Yeah, it's absolutely vital. So it's the Greater New Orleans Development Foundation, which I believe is a subsidiary. I don't know if Mike is still on the line. He can correct me if I'm wrong. A subsidiary of GNO Inc. And so they're a partnership intermediary for all this. And so really what it is the Navy commands that we listed in the beginning, and we're intimately familiar with the Navy's problems and needs statements and what we're looking for. What GNO is bringing to the table is that they're intimately familiar with the regional economy. So they know all the businesses, the universities, the startups. They're able to help understand our problems. Right? Once we can explain the problems and the solutions that we're searching for, they're able to help us identify potential suitors for those solutions. Right. So I would say that they'll be organizing events in the future and pitch days, research collaborations that bring everyone together. Right. And so there'll be more to follow. So stay tuned to all of your GNO email distributions and websites, all their announcements, right? They will be the ones contacting the New Orleans industry at large on our behalf. So kudos to GNO, and thank you to, Grady Fitzpatrick and Evie Sanders and Michael Hecht for all their support during this process. It's been really great to establish this partnership.
Absolutely. Matt, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, look, I think this is one. Thank you for the acknowledging the team members. I know that they've been really excited to work with you in developing this really over the past year or so. But, I think this is where we really like to play, which is, being, as he kind of mentioned, an intermediary between an idea and execution. And so we see a tremendous amount of opportunity here, and we can't wait to look back in around 5 years and look at a lot of skins on the wall for what we've been able to accomplish together in this partnership.
Absolutely. Commander Otero, thank you. Let me first thank you for your service to this country. I absolutely love what the military does. I'm a big supporter of the military. I know about the sacrifices that are made, and to you and all those in your command, thank you for your service to this country, and thank you for joining us today. We know you're busy.
We appreciate the support. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All righty, we'll be right back, folks, with final thoughts from Matt Wolf, VP of Communications, GNO Inc. That was Commander Andres Otero, the officer in charge at Naval Information Warfare Center, Newark, Atlantic, located right here on the campus of LSU New Orleans. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.